We know about the importance of face masks to slow the spread of the coronavirus, but researchers are pushing something even simpler. Be quiet. Shh, be quiet. Or don't talk at all. Derek Thompson has been looking at the research. His article is Mask Up and Shut Up. He's staff writer at The Atlantic. He joins us from Washington, as he does every Monday. Derek, get right to it. You spoke with Professor Jose Jimenez from the University of Colorado Boulder, who has looked at talking and transmission. What did he find?
Thank you, first of all, for having me, Robin. So this is a very important point. This is a disease that spreads through the air, and it spreads predominantly through the droplets that we create when we sneeze, cough, or talk, especially when we yell. There's two kinds of droplets. There are large droplets that come, especially when we sneeze or yell or shout or scream. And there's also the spray that comes from our mouth, sometimes when we just talk normally. Those are called aerosols, these tiny little spray-like particles that can linger in the air in a swirling cloud. Those are the two ways that this disease predominantly spreads. And if we are quiet or if we don't speak at all, we are much less likely to produce the droplets that convey this virus. Compared to yelling, quiet talking reduces aerosols by a factor of 5, and being completely silent reduces them by a factor of 50. So I'm definitely not suggesting that we should stop talking about masks or stop talking about ventilation or stop talking about taking activities outside, but I am saying maybe we should talk more about not talking.
Right, or talking quietly. Look, you write that when we're evaluating risk, we need to think of this soundscape of interactions with other people. So a socially distanced movie theater where no one's saying a word may actually be less risky than a socially distanced restaurant where people are still yelling to try to be heard.
Right. There is not going to be a risk-free space that is indoor and unventilated, which is why I would stop short of telling people to rush back to movie theaters. It is not as risk-free as staying at home or having a picnic outside. But as long as we're comparing indoor restaurants versus movie theaters, well, in indoor restaurants, people are talking and chewing and slurping and sometimes laughing loudly at each other, right in each other's faces if they're sitting across the table. In a movie theater, especially in a movie theater that isn't causing, I don't know, uproarious laughter or screaming, people are mostly sitting, hopefully spatially distanced, hopefully with masks, in a quiet space. So at least we're comparing these two indoor activities that a lot of cities or individuals might be in a rush to reopen. If we're comparing the relative risks, I would say, and the experts I talked to agreed, that movie theaters are probably safer than indoor restaurants where people are talking relatively loudly.
But it's because, again, you know, you don't have to go to a movie theater. Just everywhere, just don't speak loudly. And you point to Japan as an example of a place where quiet talking is a cultural thing, especially, for instance, on public transportation, and they have fewer infections. Talk about that.
Well, it's absolutely fascinating because many things in Japan have returned to normal. And one of those things that's returned to normal is transit ridership. Their famously crowded subways in Tokyo are back to normal. And epidemiologists have not yet traced any outbreaks to those subways. So why? Well, the subways are typically well ventilated. They tend to be newer cars than the U.S. has in a lot of subway systems. And surely the Japanese have decades of practice wearing masks that the Americans do not. But a key thing here is that Japanese commuters also have, as you said, an informal rule to either talk very, very quietly or mostly not at all. And that might be a key driver of the fact that this has been a safe space for the Japanese to return to. And so just to juxtapose here, you know, New York City is spending between $10 and $15 million a month on what I've called hygiene theater. That's blasting its subways with antimicrobial sprays and buying a bunch of soap and soaping down the walls and the poles. Well, the Japanese are keeping their trains safe with a much cheaper technology. It's silence and masks. And I just think that again and again, the public health officials just haven't clearly returned us to the way this virus spreads and the little things we can do, even in public spaces, to reduce its likelihood of transmission. Put on a mask and speak very quietly, if not at all.
Right. We only have about a minute here, but this was already one of our favorite topics because we've learned that during the 1918 flu pandemic, Boston officials fined people for spitting, kissing, or being a big talker, they were called. You were fined for that. But, you know, people are resisting wearing masks. So just, you say, put up signs, hush for your health, things like that. What are people going to do? I mean, I was around a boisterous young person. He's just got all this energy and enthusiasm. But you think people really will be quiet if they're told to be quiet?
There is a partisan difference in terms of the share of people that wear masks, but the polls seem to indicate that 70% of Americans are okay wearing masks and say they do wear masks. That is tens of millions of people more wearing masks than were in February or March. We can do the same with silence in public spaces. We just need people to understand this is the science.
Turn everything into the library. Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic, thank you.
Thank you.